Today on Real Radio.
Some people are upset because we actually have keyboards here. We like the place, we love the people, but you have keyboards or you have drum set and we can't come back. They've never read Psalms 150 and other places. Why do we do this? Why do we split the body of Christ over nothing you can prove in the Bible? Why? Because people strive about words.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the two letters written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 2, where Paul uses military and agricultural figures of speech to describe what is expected of us as followers of Jesus. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation called The Careful Soldier.
Regardless of your opinion, if you are faithless, if you are unbelieving, yet he's still true. He still exists. He cannot deny himself. This word here, to be faithless or unbelieving, is the Greek word amar, and it means to suppose. And Psalm 14:1 says, the fool has supposed, same word, in his heart that there's no God. And it goes like this, really. In all honesty, the fool says, there's no God, there's no God, there's no God, there's no God. Can't be, can't be, can't be. And he begins to talk himself into it. And you know what's sad is when you begin in that state to believe your own propaganda, you deceive yourself. There's no God. There's no God. And you begin to say it so much, you begin to believe your own message. That word fool in Psalm 14:1 is the word in the Hebrew, nabal. It means, I'm not making this up. It means stupid. That's the translation of the word. The stupid have supposed there is no God. They've convinced themselves there's no God. They've gone to the eternal Vegas. They put their life in the slot, pulled the handle, and gambled. And they say, this is the way it's going to be. And they've committed themselves. Yet there's no logical reason to back up their presupposition. In Psalm 10, verse 4, it says, the wicked is prideful in his heart, and he doesn't seek after God. God is in none of his thoughts, Psalm 10:4 says. Very serious. Now, he changes to really an exhortation of sound faith. And this is what I'm supposed to be doing to you right now, verse 14. And this is what you do when you get up today and go home. Or go to your job tomorrow. Listen, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. And this word is beautiful in the Greek. It means to remind, to exhort them quietly, constantly. Remember Jesus. Remember the word of the Lord. Seek the Lord. Don't deny the Lord. Stay in the Word of God, and you don't yell and pound the pulpit. You exhort them constantly, quietly, faithfully. You know, this blesses my heart. You know, in the Old Testament, the little Hebrew babies were born. They had come into the world, and the mama would take that little Hebrew baby and get her lips, and this is part of the routine, they would get their lips to touch the ear of the baby. The day it was born and every day until the mom handed the child over to the father at the bar mitzvah, the age of 13. And she would say, Yahweh is Lord. That's the first words the baby heard in this world. Yahweh is Lord. Yahweh. And she told that every day to that baby. You know why? To instill in that little guy's heart that Yahweh is Lord. And she began to speak those words. Yahweh is Lord would be some of the first words out of a Hebrew baby. Isn't that awesome? And that's what this word means here. Jesus is Lord. Follow the Lord. Study his word. And the Holy Spirit whispers that in your ear. He reminds you quietly and constantly. And he also goes on to say, charge them. Now, some ministries have taken this up as a command, you know, charge them. Visa, MasterCard, whatever it takes, charge them. You know, the word actually means, in the Greek, to protest to them. We protest. We are to one another. And the minister, Timothy's to protest to the flock. I will read my Bible. Read my Bible. And you say, well, how ludicrous. Well, when's the last time you read your Bible? That's what we're supposed to do. We are to charge you. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord. And you pump them in the spirit, not in the flesh. I don't remember what year it was, 87 maybe. Mike McIntosh, maybe some of you guys were there at Twin Peaks. He had a stand up on a Friday night at a men's retreat. Stand up, everybody, raise your right hand. We're like, okay. And say this, I will. Everyone's looking around at each other. What are we going to do? Go back to my pastor. And tell him I will serve. And tell him I will. But, you know, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you'll say anything. You know, we're pledging unto the Lord. Hey, praise the Lord. I will. I'm going to serve the Lord. Yeah, yeah. And we get done. And I thought, yeah, no. Well, if God opens a door, that's fine. I didn't know what kind of door God was going to be opening. And God says, there's a door. Now go. Now, wait a minute. I started backpedaling. But that's exactly what Mike McIntosh did to us. I will. He charges. The Holy Spirit charges us to seek the Lord. Now, he says, charge them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. We're not to strive about words. And this is very sad. We're not to strive about words. Simply, Jesus said in Matthew 5:37, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. Boy, isn't that true? And we got people today, there are churches, there are denominations and splits because people want to strive about words. And I kid you not, I speak from experience in this fellowship via the phone that rings. Which way do you guys baptize? First of all, they say, where are you at? And we tell them where we're at, and, well, we'd like to come. Okay, great, come. Praise the Lord, come. Well, one question, though, how do you baptize? Well, in water. Yeah, but do you do it front or do you do it backwards? Well, let me get the baptism manual out and see how we do that. It's not in the Bible. Front, back, sideways. Well, do you dip them down and up three times? If you're not doing it three times, they're not really baptized. Oh, yeah, yeah. You know what? I have no patience for those kinds of things. So if you're visiting, don't call me. Talk to somebody else here. The Bible says baptize them. And if they're hanging on a cross and they're dying, you can wave the baptism part. The thief on the cross was never baptized. Okay? We baptized. How do you do it? Hey, we pray with them, take them out into the ocean, and we hold them under. Sometimes longer. Depends on their life. And we bring them up and we send them on their way. And besides all that, Corinthians tells us that we're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, and it has nothing to do with water. But we do baptize people because Jesus says we ought to baptize people. And so we do it. Some people are upset because we actually have keyboards here. We like the place, we love the people, but you have keyboards or you have drum set and we can't come back. They've never read Psalms 150 and other places. Why do we do this? Why do we split the body of Christ over nothing you can prove in the Bible? Why? Because people strive about words. We had somebody here just take a hit from their family. They started coming, they gave their heart to Christ, they're all freaking out and loving the Lord, and they go home to share the gospel, and the person says, well, where did you find this gospel of Jesus in the Bible and all? I went to Calvary Chapel. You can't go there. Well, how come? It's a chapel. It's not a church. How do you like that one? It's a chapel. You can't. It's only a chapel. It's not a church. Isn't that a trip? Striving about stupid words. And people do it all the time. 2 Peter 3:16 says that there are those who are unlearned and unstable who wrestle the word of God and other scriptures to their own destruction. We need to be more like the church who tested the words of Paul, Acts 17:11, to see if the things that he was preaching were true. The Bible's the authority. We need to go to the Bible and all these things. And so now he says in verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. I love this. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker or a student who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This word study is spoudazo in the Greek. It means to make speed, to make haste. I'm just spoudazoing along in my walk. I'm learning, I'm growing. How? How do you learn? What is the type of Bible teaching that the Bible reveals to us? Expositional Bible study. You may not like this. Well, that's fine. If you don't like me or the message, that's fine. But wherever you go, you need to go to a church that's expositional, or what's called exegesis, teaching the Bible verse by verse. Why? The Bible commends to us to study line upon line, precept upon precept. We're to go verse by verse. Topical studies are fun if you're at a conference and you're leaving and that's it. What else are you going to do? But to hear topicals week in and week out, you're not going to have a healthy, strong grip on the word. We are to make every effort to be prompt at laboring over the word of God. We need to study. John says in John 5:39, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And Jesus says, these are they which testify of me. Whenever you study the Bible, you need to go to a verse and say, where's Jesus in this verse? You're to look for him. You're to study the word of God. Now, personally, I have two things to say. Number one, people ask, how do I study the Bible? And you immediately think you got to amass to yourself a library. No way. You want to study the Bible? Get a notebook and a pencil and do the four-letter word, wait. That's how God will speak. He'll speak to you out of his word, and you will be able to write your own commentary in the word of God as God speaks to you. Commentaries are great, but only after the fact. Let the Lord speak to you. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Charles Spurgeon said, he who has prayed much has studied well. Be in meditation to the word of God. Doesn't mean to have a bunch of books stacked up around your desk. Let the word of God teach you. And I want to say this. Not only should we, number one, let the Lord teach us through his word. Number two, 1 Peter 2:20 says, as newborn babes, just like that, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. I don't care who you are. I don't care how young you are, how old you are. If you give money to a Christian work or not, I don't care how long you've been a member of a church or not. I do not care. If you are wondering if you're a believer in Jesus Christ today, the number one proof that I look for in someone is their appetite for the Bible. If you are a born-again Christian or a new born-again Christian or an old seasoned saint, if you are hungry for the Bible, then I look at you and I say, that guy, that girl is full of the Holy Spirit. They're hungry for the Bible. If you're not, then I think, and I'm sure you're going to write me about this, I think you're dead. Jack. No, listen. The Bible says if you desire the Bible, you're just like a newborn baby. When you bring your babies home from the hospital, what do? They nurse about every 2.5 hours. They're eating all the time. Our pediatrician, my wife walked in there with Rebecca, and I guess they usually lose weight after their first week or two. Rebecca and Ashley, they just grew and grew and grew and grew. And he told her, he goes, you know what? I'd like you to write down what you're doing so I can give this to other women who come in. I've never seen kids grow so much and so quickly. Why? They were nursing all the time. The sincere milk of the word. A born-again believer, I don't care if you've been saved for 5 minutes or 50 years, the mark of your Christianity, and I believe the mark of your salvation, is your hunger for God and for the Word of God. And I know that sounds hard, but I'm sorry, I believe Jesus says, if you're born again, I believe you're born again. You have a new life. And if you didn't desire the Word before, you desire it now. If you were chasing the world then, you're not chasing the world now. Yes, it takes time, but your hunger starts the day that you're born. God tells us as ministers, as pastors, to feed the flock of God. So anyway, he goes on and he says that we need to rightly divide the word of truth. That word in the Greek is to cut straight, or to make a straight cut, or to dissect. I enjoy the root word. I'm not going to push this too much. The root word is orthos, that this comes from. And the word orthos means early morning or the breaking of dawn. Make a straight cut in the Word of God early. Well, I'm not an early person. Okay, I understand that. But before you do anything else in your day, make a straight cut in the Word of God. You know why? Because as our day goes along, don't we get trashed? I mean, if we don't get early with Jesus and get grounded for the day, don't you feel those hours fleeting away? And you never get control. The day just seems to slip and slip and fade away, and you're always running around trying to play catch up. But if you give the early hours to Jesus, man, your life, my life goes by so much better, so much easier as I yield to him. And every day I neglect that, I really pay for that. And I find it interesting that the root word where we get straight cut is early morning. And I believe if you take prayer, the Word of God, and meditation, you'll be able to exercise sound doctrine. You'll be able to hear false doctrine when it comes across your path. Now, for time's sake, we need to scoot down here a little bit. He says there, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase to the more ungodliness. When someone says something that's off the wall, shut it off. Have enough spiritual commitment to shut it off. If it's not godly, we have to put it to rest. We have to be careful. And this word vain babblings means baby talk. It means baby talk. We need to put off baby talk. We need to cut it off. Why? Look at verse 17. And their message, the baby talkers, will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort. You know, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, the Bible says that we are to expose them who teach false doctrine. Paul does it right here. And boy, if he was here today, he would have a lot to say about so-called Christian TV, and he wouldn't glaze over it. He'd call it by name. He would say it by name. He'd name them all. I find it precious. Paul was never a man to buckle under pressure. He never really cared about the approval of man. He only cared about the approval of God. Paul preached God's message, God's word to God's people. And there are those people in the church today that preach a man's message to their people not God's people, it's their people, with men's worldly wisdom. And it's wrong. Colossians 2:8 says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through vain philosophies and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." I'm sickened to turn the TV on, or you hear a broadcast on so-called Christian radio, and you hear an awesome message by Charles Stanley or Chuck Smith or David Hawking about how Jesus is the answer. And then the next commercial is a commercial how if you lack power in your life, if you can't get a grip, in other words, if Christianity ain't working in your life, if you're not, if it isn't powerful enough in your life, then you need a psychologist. I know God can bring you so far, but now you need to go this far. And we've got to go to these philosophies of the world. And I know I'm offending a lot of people this morning. I don't care. You don't sit with me and have people come in and say, "You know what? I've been paying $5,000 a month and I'm still messed up." And we call the elders in and pray and anoint them with oil. And I see them 2 weeks, 2 months, a year later, and they're fine in Christ. I'm sorry. It upsets me. The Bible's all we need. You know what the problem is? It isn't the Bible. It's, are we yielding our heart to God to let Him do the work? What do we do? "Lord, in Jesus' name, fix me. I guess it didn't work." And we do the American thing. "Oh, I'm sorry. I'm preaching it this morning, aren't I? I'm angry about this. I'm sorry." We do the American thing and we throw money at our problems because money's easy to put out. Waiting upon God and letting the Bible change your heart, He does it free and He does it forever. He's wonderful and He's all we need.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 11 through 19. It's a presentation called The Careful Soldier, and we'll continue with more of our series through 2 Timothy on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. If you're enjoying and benefiting from Real Radio, we'd like to hear from you. You can drop us a quick letter or just go online. Here's one from Philip. "Dear Jack, I'd like to thank you for the messages that you have brought to me and many other people about our Almighty God. I've spent many years knowing about Jesus. I've read the Bible and I've gone to church every Sunday for 3 years. I listen to your messages and you always say, 'Don't take it from my words, but take it from the Word of God and ask the Holy Spirit to make you understand.' So I did. Then the Holy Spirit came upon me and showed me that Jesus is the way. His blood has cleansed me. I feel His peace, joy, and the love that God has promised. Praise the Lord, He died for me to rid me of my sins. Your messages and teachings have brought me to a greater understanding of His Word, and they help me to overcome the evil one through the blood of Jesus. Your brother in Christ, Philip." Well, thank you very much, Philip, for those words. Now remember, there are two ways to do this. You can do it the traditional way by writing us a letter and sending it to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Or you can visit us at realradioactive.org, and you can get our address online as well, realradioactive.org. And if you'd like to do it right there online, click where it says "Send Us a Message." Our toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.